Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about the Portage Health Foundation and all the things that they do and what they're involved in, what their goals are. To help me do that, joining me in the segment right now is Kevin Storr. He's the executive director of the Portage Health Foundation. Alongside him is Chelsea Goodrow. She is the fund development assistant, and they are here to answer mine and your questions about the Portage Health Foundation. So first of all, let me welcome them both to the program. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Chelsea, how are you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. Go ahead. Don't be shy to go ahead and speak up there. The microphone picks up that a whole lot better. Let's just start with kind of the basics. Portage Health Foundation, it's been around for a while. Most people would associate it with the old hospital, but it's an entity upon itself. Kevin, we'll start with you. Tell me about it.
Well, I think there's still a bit of a misunderstanding that, you know, we're still part of the hospital. We're not. And I'll try to keep this as short as possible, but the explanation is, when we sold the hospital in December 2013, we took the net proceeds from the sale of the hospital and we converted the old hospital foundation to what would be considered more of a community foundation. So those assets that we took, the net sale proceeds from the sale, we reinvested those assets into a portfolio. We're taking earnings from that investment each year and reinvesting that into the community through various projects, contributing to other nonprofit organizations that provide services to the community, as well as looking at things that we can do on our own in terms of addressing the overall health of our communities. So I think the first thing that our audience would want to know is, no, we are not directly part of the hospital anymore, that we serve the community and we are a community asset.
Now, a lot of charitable organizations tend to work in the background, behind the curtains. You don't really see them. Portage Health Foundation has a little bit of that, but it's what you're helping with is very much in the limelight. So, it's a little bit different than some of the other charitable organizations where you are there helping out with organizations that we use and see every day.
I think it's important to recognize the contribution that our nonprofit community makes to our community, to our residents. You know, nonprofits, there's many of them. You know, Dial Help, Little Brothers, Barber Kettle Gunlock Shelter Home, the Phoenix House, the Shelter Home in Barracuda County. I mean, the list goes on and on. And what we've done and the role that we've tried to put in play that we'll play is really a supporting role to those other community organizations that are really in the trenches doing the good work in our community and providing help to our residents. As you mentioned, a lot of the projects that we're involved in right now are coming to the limelight. And one of the things that we've identified a role that we can play is really to help advocate for our community organizations, to help kind of pull back the rug a little bit so people can see what they do. Because in a lot of cases, it's the things that they do that people don't want to talk about. You know, if somebody calls in crisis to Dial Help, they're not out publicizing, boy, thank God for Dial Help, because when I needed their help last week when I was on the verge of wanting to kill myself, I called Dial Help. People don't talk about that. So we've been really trying to help advocate for the organizations and different agencies and really just try to bring a greater level of awareness. In addition to that, we've also been trying to bring a greater level of capital support, financial support to those organizations to help with the work they do. So we're very happy, very pleased to be able to play a part in that and to help them better serve our community.
Well, it seems like you're entering a new phase from my standpoint, because we were talking earlier, you've had about a year and a half of sort of groundwork laying, and then now things are ramping up. There's been a number of developments with Michigan Tech, with Gogebic and Finlandia University, some other things you have going on in the community. We'll talk about those. Not that you haven't always been doing them, but now it seems like you've almost taken another step here recently.
We really have, and I think the big difference here is, you know, as the foundation existed previously, I mean, foundation's been around since 1990, but it supported the hospital. It supported the charitable arm of the hospital. And when we converted to what would be more considered, as I mentioned, a community foundation, we've really been looking hard at how do we best serve our community. And the ramp up that you're seeing is that over the last year, it's been really focused on just getting the administrative platform in place to operate the organization. It's been focused on getting some of our internal procedures and policies in place to try to manage the reinvestment through our granting back into the community. some of the things that we're taking that next step now, and one of the reasons that we brought Chelsea on board this past spring was to really start focusing more on community and donor engagement, not just trying to raise money, but really to engage our community in the conversation of where we're going and what the needs are. And she has some great ideas and some, you know, some things that we're working on right now, putting in place. So that's going to be a big, big next step for us, is really identifying those community needs and then also trying to leverage our resources financially with others that want to contribute, you know, other individuals, but also externally, corporate donors, other foundations that we can try to leverage to bring additional monies in. So you're right, we're at kind of that horizon line of what's going to be the next big step and how can we better serve our community as a foundation.
So Chelsea, you're part of this sort of next step here. So talk about your role and some of the obstacles you face and your goals.
The role that I play as fund development is looking to make sure that we don't run out of money, that we constantly have funds coming in. Another part of my job is communications, and what I'm working on right now is a lot of community engagement. That in and of itself is going to play many different roles. First and foremost, it's to really draw in the community. It's important as a community foundation that we have the support of the communities that we serve, because that's where the money is going. So we are very dedicated to developing the relationships with Berga, Ontonagon, and Keweenaw, Houghton County. Those are the communities that we serve, and right now that is one of our biggest priorities, because we really want to develop that. Reasons for that is we get feedback from the people in the areas who are going through and identify different needs that we may not be able to see as the foundation, because they're the ones who are actually going through different critical issues. So they're the ones who can bring it to our attention and we can do something about it. On the flip side of that, once we are able to identify different issues that they have brought to our attention, we're able to use that on the donor side as well, because we're able to show people interested in donating to the foundation, this is what we're doing, this is the collaboration that we've done with the communities, and this is where we're going with it, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. So it's just a big pattern. So it all comes full circle in the end.
It is one of the really neat things about the Portage Health Foundation is, you know, you've got a bag of money and you're like, okay, who wants it? You ask people to submit proposals for their community projects so that you can fund it. You know, usually when you write a grant, you're trying to request somebody to please give you money, please give you money. You have money and you're saying, okay, please give us a reason to spend it. And that's kind of neat. You have a couple of those things out right now.
We do. We actually have a call for proposal right now on mental health issues within our community. We just concluded a call for proposal last Friday on adolescent health. We're actually meeting as a board tomorrow to review a call for proposal that we released earlier in the year as a result of our spring gala that was focused on outdoor recreation projects for the Four County area. And then we've also just recently concluded a number of implementing a number of scholarships at four different educational institutions. So we have, as you mentioned, a unique opportunity to actually call for ways to spend this money. But I'm going to go back to one of the things that Chelsea mentioned, and one of the criticisms, or maybe not criticisms, but rather challenges that we were faced with early on, is people said, well, why would we give to the Portage Health Foundation when you're sitting on this pot of money? Why would we need somebody like Chelsea here to continue to raise money? And the answer to that is because we're going to do something with it. We're going to make an impact with that money. We are going to work with the community to reinvest that money to address the systemic problems that we face in this community. And this isn't a Houghton Hancock-centric foundation. This is for the four counties that Chelsea mentioned. And we want to make sure that we're drilling down, not putting Band-Aids on things that people see in the community, but really starting to push down and start figuring out what are some of the problems. An example of that, and I don't think Mark would mind me sharing this, but Mark Lambert from UP Kids has talked to me quite a bit about some of the issues that are facing the population, our community segment that he serves, adolescents, children in need, foster care, you know, big brothers, big sisters, they provide mentorship. there's all kinds of different dynamics that are facing the children in our community. Challenges, you know, abuse, neglect, homelessness, obesity issues, malnutrition. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Throw in the mental health concerns and substance abuse issues that are facing our kids. So when we start talking about it, the problem is, as an example, is that by the time a young person goes through certain crises and there's funding support there to help them, it's too late. That child has already become a victim. And now you're looking at restorative and rehabilitation versus preventive care, preventive services. So we're trying to assess and work with our community partners like Mark at UP Kids to figure out what can we do as a community, and not what we can do as the foundation, because again, they're the ones in the trenches, they're the ones with the expertise. How can we help them? How can we support them? So, you know, that's, I think, an important piece that is for the audience, is making sure that, you know, they recognize that if you're contributing $5, $500, $50,000 through the Portage Health Foundation, it's going to be magnified because of the resources we have, and we're going to be able to do some pretty cool stuff with that.
That is something else that I do like about the work that you do over there. We have charitable organizations. They help with food. They help with utility assistance with you need them, if you need them, helping you recover from drug abuse, domestic violence. You know, we have those programs, and they're great programs, and you do support those as well. But a lot of the things that you focus on are more of the proactive end, focusing on trying to solve the problems or keep them from ever happening in the first place. You know, addressing with some of the scholarships. Well, okay, one of the things we need is more health career individuals here. Well, let's go ahead and create them. And you take those steps by doing that, working with the universities and the Coquimbo Community College.
Well, that's a great example, because we sat down very early on and we identified our five core pillars. And one of the pillars was health education. The other was an emerging healthcare leaders pillar, core area of emphasis. Hillary Anderson is a new person in our office. Our office executive assistant, Connie Greenleaf, has children in college that have gone through. Our board is very in tune with the needs educationally. Chelsea, you know, as an individual, knows the challenges of going to you know, post-secondary education. We've had a lot of discussion about how can we support young people, students from the four county area, and again, we stress that four county area because this is that community's money, and we're reinvesting it to benefit the people of these four counties. But we started talking at length about how can we do that from an educational scholarship standpoint. And recently, through some discussion, we earmarked some monies. We've started a program at Coquimbo Community College, Finlandia University, Michigan State University's College of Health Sciences, Human Medicine, and also through Michigan Tech. So we've this year allocated, $50,000 to expend this calendar year in educational scholarships. And depending on the certificate or degree program, that's going to impact either up anywhere from 12 to 22 different people this year from the four county area. So, you know, it's another way that we're investing back in the community, and not just the immediate needs. I mean, for those individuals, and bringing it down to that individual level, for those individuals, that's certainly a benefit right now. But long term, as you mentioned, Rick, long term, that's a benefit for our community, because the intent is that those young people that have gone on and have been able to advance their education in the health sciences will ultimately or hopefully come back to this community and want to become a practitioner within our community.
Talking right now with Kevin Storr. He's the executive director of the Portage Health Foundation. Also, Chelsea Goodrow is here. She is the fund development assistant. And so let's talk about those things as well, because it's your job then to, develop funds. Now, you said you're able to engage the community to make this happen. Talk about how that works.
Well, we're actually working on a plan of how to go about doing that. We've started. I just was able to finish up a video project. And in doing that, it was a huge advocacy piece for... currently, I worked with four different nonprofits. I worked with Little Brothers, I worked with UP Kids, Dial Help, and the Phoenix House. And each of them have their own video, and we were able to to get their story. And they were able to talk about the partnership with us, what they do in the community, what they do for the community, and also what their needs are. That was a huge thing. That in and of itself is going to be a huge connection piece for the community. And I think it's really going to tie together really the heart and soul of what the foundation is. We have such a desire to serve the community. We have such a desire to partner with people. We not just organizations, but with individuals. We want people to want to be involved. We want to kind of spark that interest with people. In doing that, it's gonna be a conversation starter. It's gonna get people's attention, and it's really gonna start to get different conversations, different subjects in the mix of the conversation. Also, we're looking at developing specialized meetings in a way that we're going to be able to talk to families, talk to teachers, talk to law enforcement, talk to the people who are, like Kevin said earlier, right in the trenches, and the people who are dealing with all these critical issues that we have in our communities. We can talk to teachers about what our adolescents, health-wise, education-wise, what their needs are, what the teachers need to be able to do their job properly. We want to start that conversation. We're still developing how we're going to go about doing that, but that's our goal right now, is to really touch base with as many people as we can in the communities of what they need and how we can help them.
Kevin, Chelsea just mentioned partnerships, and you know, that just reminded me of how we were talking earlier about the Portage Health Foundation is a terrific organization, and it can only be made stronger by partnering with other terrific organizations and pooling resources and setting common goals. And that was something that you were making a big push for recently as well.
It is. You know, really, when you look at our mission, one of the main components of our mission is to help enhance or influence greater levels of community collaboration and partnerships. I think one of the things that you're talking about or maybe alluding to is our recent partnership with Michigan Tech. You know, that partnership came about after many, many months of deliberation and discussion, and looked at potentially what that would have in terms of the benefit to the community long term. You know, there was a opportunity for us to make an investment, not into Michigan Tech. You know, I mean, obviously Michigan Tech is the fiduciary and the recipient of the funds, but we're looking at that as an investment back into our community. It leveraged a significant amount of capital from the institution, actually almost a 2-to-1 contribution on the part of Michigan Tech. And then we also looked at some very deliberate areas of endowed professorships that will be brought about at the university that we believe will be a benefit to us as we look at better structuring our reinvestment back into the community in terms of community health and wellness, medical informatics. And one of the big ones there that probably went understated in the release that we had was the medical technology. The conversations with Glenn Mraz, president at the university, and Dave Reed and others, you know, really focused on how do we take the advances in technology, how do we take you know, things that they're researching and developing, and how can we potentially take those to market from this community? Can we start, you know, developing some of those things that could be manufactured here? Could that, in turn, start working towards creating jobs and influencing the economy of our community? You know, Glenn and I talked about, you know, we talk about the advances of our educational institutions here, Tech and Finlandia and Gogebic. We're blessed with some really good institutions, but we're taking our young people and we're exporting them. And we're very grateful about the fact that we have, you know, international quality education right here in our own community. But how do we turn this into a micropolitan example to the global community of how those advances in technology can be applied here? How can we manufacture those things here? How can we make our community a better place here as an example to the international community, not just exporting our young people? So, you know, time will be the testimony on that partnership. But we are hopeful, and the intent is that we will not only see advances at the institution, as I mentioned, as we talked last week, you know, Tech's number one capital outlay project right now is the $52 million request for a new College of Health Sciences and Engineering. That's a significant change for not just the university, but that's a big change for a community. That's jobs. And when you look at the overall health of a community, you can correlate individual health and economic health and tie those very closely together. So that's one of the other areas that we're looking for. I'm trying, not only with larger institutions, but Chelsea mentioned our partnership with Phoenix House is an example, or Dial Help. When you look at the nonprofit community as overall, Rick, the individually, you know, Phoenix House might have about a $400,000 operating budget and employs 10, 11 people. And some people say, well, that's not that significant. But when you take our nonprofit community as a sector and you start adding it all up and you start looking at all the employees, you start looking at their payrolls, you start looking at their expenses that they have in our community. And I'm not shifting this. I don't want to shift this too far away from the importance and the value of what they provide. But that's a huge driver of our local economy. That's a lot of jobs. It's a lot of people's families that are supported. And then when you magnify that, Bo, to the people that are supported through the services that they provide, that's a huge impact on our community. And we want to make sure that we stay focused on, you know, how can we best serve them? How can we best support them? How can we better create partnerships between the foundation and those organizations? And also, how can we stimulate the conversation between those organizations, you know, to partner and to collaborate and to seek out ways to better provide services for our community as well? So partnership is a big piece of this. And, you know, it's part of our mission and something that we're holding true to.
So what's coming up down the pipeline? I mean, you've had a lot of activity. I can't imagine it's going to slow down. Is there anything that you can kind of share?
From a gifting side, a granting side, you know, as I mentioned, we have the call for proposal out now. We have we're going to be announcing the recipients of the recreation grant proposals probably by the end of the week, if not early next week. We ended up with 17 applications from the Fort County area there. You know, the big piece that I'm really excited about looking into this next end of this calendar year and into next year is a lot of what Chelsea's talked about with regard to our community engagement. That's going to be a very powerful process for us, and I think it's going to help us better allocate where our spending goes next year.
Chelsea, what about you? You were touching on what you got coming up.
Well, a lot of just the engagement pieces. We're really looking, getting the community more involved. That's kind of where my focus is now after transitioning from the video project. That's where my focus is starting to be more focused. And I guess that's just a really big priority right now is community engagement, because we don't really have a lot of it right now. Yeah, I had the opportunity and I, as a employee of the foundation, I was able to be educated a lot in working with the organizations that I did on the video project, but it just, I guess it created more of a spark for myself that we need to get the community engaged, and we need to get them on the same page, and we need to get them, I guess, looking at the same goals that we have. So that's my biggest thing right now is community engagement and starting that conversation and making that develop a little bit more.
If you have an organization or a small group that wants to put in a proposal for one of the requests that you have, how do they do that, and how do they find out more?
Simple way is to go to our website. It's just phfgive.org. All of the information's on there. The video project, the advocacy piece that Chelsea's mentioned is on there underneath the You Make the Difference tab. All of our grant applications are on there. There's also underneath news and event, if people want to know what we've done so far, there's a chronological listing of all the activity that's gone over the last year and a half. You know, they can contact our office at 523-5920. Or email us at all the contact information is on the website. That's really the clearinghouse of our information. You know, one of the things that's important to mention is we have done and we'll continue to do very targeted calls for proposals, but we also have an open application process. We've tried to structure our granting to be responsive to the community and not reactive. So we have an open call. I mean, if somebody has an idea and a proposal, and we get a lot of that weekly, people come in with ideas or thoughts. You know, what do you think of this? Where does it fit? And a lot of it is, there's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of dialogue that goes into some of these ideas or initiatives. So it's not just here's a proposal, yes or no. There's a great deal of conversation and deliberate thought that goes into it. So we're trying to partner with our respondents and our applicants as much as we can. But the website's the best place, Rick, for any of the information.
All right. My guests in this segment have been Kevin Storr, the Executive Director of the Portage Health Foundation, along with Chelsea Goodrow, Fund Development Assistant. And you have the contact information now, and I invite you to learn more by visiting their website as well. Kevin and Chelsea, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.